All right. First things first. I get this thing on here. I gotta give this guy a hug because I haven't seen him forever. Amen. Yeah, man. Love you too. So, Eli, thanks so much. You know, it's good. It's good. Yeah, it was really the Lord's doing, you know, just working and asking the Lord to, you know, who are we going to have us lead us for worship to. And then God just put it together, you know, with Gil and Bruce and Eli. And it's just like, the Lord does it, doesn't He? He does it. You know, I think it was last year I was working with a young man, and he was going to school with Hannah and at the Christian school up in Twin Tiers, and he was an apprentice. So one day he joined me on the crew, and we did some, you know, reinforce somebody's fascia and soffits and so forth. And he got back to school and he said to Hannah, he said, you know who I worked with today? I said, my dad maybe? I said, yeah, my dad, or your dad. And he said, yeah, he's a fun guy to hang out with and be around and so forth. And you know what my daughter said? I said, yeah, he can be a goofball. I'm like, really? You told a friend of yours that I'm a goofball, you know? So and then she explained that it's really a term of endearment, and so you know, if she ever calls you a goofball, just think of it as like very reverent kind of thing, you know. So no, you know, the Lord is good. You know, when I was looking at this verse here in John chapter 14, verse 27 there, for the theme, my peace I give you. You know, I think I was driven there because of, I wasn't having a peaceful time. You know, sometimes you get into those ruts where you're like, Lord, why me? And I don't know if I want to be in this situation, and things aren't going the way I want them to. There's a lot of I messages in there for us. You know, we just get so into ourselves, don't we? And he reminded me of this. He said, Fred, I've given you my peace, and it's not like the world's peace. And you're striving in this because your peace is coming from a worldly thing, and it was bothering the Lord. And so he just pricked my heart with this, and it was right at the time we started talking about the men's day, and I thought, boy, is this, I think this is with the Lord, you know. I really think that he wants us to live out his peace that he's given us so freely. Isn't it awesome that he gives us his peace, right? We don't have to go searching for it. We just have to be receiving of it, you know. And I know that, you know, some of us are going through some hard things, right? We go through them. That's called life, you know. But without the Lord, I don't know how people do it. It's unfathomable to me. I just can't put my hands around it. How do you do life without the Lord? He's the creator of life, right? In the beginning was the Word. He was there at the time in which He brought life into existence just by His spoken Word, just by the breath, His breath. He breathed life into us. Where else would we go? You know, where else would we go? He is life. You know? And so often, you know, when I look at this verse, Jesus says something pretty cool here, right? He says, He says, this is not as the world gives, do I give to you. Here's how the world achieves peace, right? First of all, if there's any kind of trouble, the world says, let's resolve the trouble. Let's avoid the trouble. Let's not go there, you know. I remember back in the day when, I think it was 2003, when we declared war on Iraq, right? My in-laws were not saved at the time. They didn't really understand the Lord, right? And we were going to Israel. And I remember my in-laws going, you don't want to go there. You know what's happening over there? You know? But the Prince of Peace was leading us there, right? And what a blessing we would have missed out on if we had just listened to the opinions of people. Because the way the world works peace is that they like to avoid troubles. How can we avoid trouble? And unfortunately, when that happens, see, there's a lot of sin that comes with that avoidance. Right? How do we avoid it? Well, we lie our way through it. We cheat people out of things. We start doing things that are not only unethical but immoral to the Lord and against His commands, right? We go against the Lord in order to achieve peace the way the world does. And so there's this big avoidance of trouble. And then if there's any conflict, or, you know, just that, you know, that friction between people, why, we want to eliminate that. Because we feel like, hey, that doesn't bring peace, you know. So the world wants to eliminate all the conflicts. You know, we can all get along, right? We can all get along. We can put the bumper sticker coexist on our bumper and we're all good. We're getting along. It's really a false peace. Then there's this tolerance that the world, you know, when we're not accepting of certain things, there's this tolerance that goes on. And, you know, if you just gotta tolerate all this and whatnot. And if you would tolerate it, see, that would bring about peace in our lives. But the author of peace would have us turn to Him and rely upon Him and trust in Him. Right? What does the gospel say? The gospel says if we believe upon Him, then we have eternal life. Well, it doesn't stop there. We don't stop trusting in the Lord when we become Christians. That's just the beginning. Right? And when we begin that sanctification process there, and we get into His Word, we find out that in the midst of these troubles, in the midst of these conflicts, in the midst of these intolerance times, that the Lord brings peace in those times. You know, it's interesting in chapter 14 here, he brings right to the forefront what Keith was referring to, and that is fear, right? He said in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. What did Keith say? God Almighty, the Most High God, right? He's the one we believe in, the name above all names, right? That's what we tell people, right? We're telling people that we better live like that, right? We're telling people that, you know, if they come to the Lord, that they would have peace. That doesn't mean all the troubles go away. That doesn't mean all the conflicts go away. That doesn't mean we stop doing stupid things sometimes. Right? That means He brings peace into the situation, into the relationship. If we allow Him to. He says, I give you My peace. So He's given it to you. Are you receiving it? As a believer, I think we get caught up, you know, we get caught up in these these troubles, and we, you know, I always tell my wife, I don't want to be, when I get old, I'm not old yet. Most of you got to say amen to that. But I tell my wife, I don't want to be one of them old grumpy old men, right? Oh, my knees are killing me, right? Or I worked with a young buck this past, it was the last week, I guess it was. We carried 50 sheets of sheetrock down into the basement to refinish a basement. I thought I did pretty good. Next day he shows up with his braces. I'm like, what? What's with that? You know, but, you know, I don't want to get to the point where my peace is all eaten up by all the junk going on, all the situational stuff that's in my life. You know, some of you have been through a lot and you've held your chin up and you've allowed the Lord to work during those times of afflictions and times of troubles, you know, in your life, and He's made you the man that you are. Some of you maybe didn't withstand the storm so well, and you turned to other things for peace, you know, whatever that is, whatever that sin is in your life. Sometimes we turn to those things, thinking those things are going to satisfy us. And the Scripture is pretty clear. Sin's pleasurable for a season. Right? And it'll even bring us delight and pleasure. But it's not very long-lasting, and it falls away quite quickly, and all of a sudden we're back to square one, and we're wondering why. Because we've disowned the gift that God gave us as a believer, and that is peace. We've allowed the situational stuff to take over, and all of a sudden, those things are dictating my countenance. You know, I remember years ago, I was newly saved, and my Bible was like my bread. You know, my air, my everything. Right, I was in it all the time. And I remember this one day, I went to a church service, and it was in college, and I was standing there, and the weight of the world was just getting on me and so forth. And I didn't, as a new believer, I didn't know how to quite handle that. And I remember a guy coming up to me during the worship service. He recognized that my countenance looked more like the world than it did Jesus. And if that's the case, you know, if you're always looking down and you're never looking up, your countenance is going to look that way. You know, we're not here to tell you how to put on the happy face. We're here to encourage you to rely upon the one that you accepted last year, that you accepted 5 years ago, that you saw Jesus and you said, I want to follow Him. You know? And so we're here to encourage you to follow Him. Everything. That, you know, and He's given us some wonderful, wonderful attributes of His character. Couple of scriptures that hit me this morning was just, you know, Jesus said, and you're all familiar, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? That's true for the believer. We follow His commands. We believe in His word as truth and His life. Right? He is our life. And the other one was in chapter 17, verse 17, and it says, sanctify them by the truth. It says, my word is truth. You know, His word is truth. So if you want to grow in the Lord, if you want to grow closer to the Lord, then it takes His Word in our lives to draw us into that relationship. It's important to us. And God tells us that. Why does God tell us that we are sanctified by the truth? And His Word is truth. Why does He tell us that? Well, I think one reason why is because if we rely upon God's Word, it brings about peace in our lives. Right? I mean, what drives us to be in that that spot of chaos or that spot of just no peace? You ever get there? It's decisions. Sometimes decisions drive us. Oh no, we got to make this decision, and all of a sudden we're scrambling. No, God will make it for you. Get in His Word. He'll show you. I've got a circumstance in my life right now that I don't have the answers for, but I know He does. So do I consult my friends? I may, but they're not my final decision makers. God is. Why? Because I'm sanctified. I'm set apart by His Word. We are set apart by His Word. The thing that makes you guys different that have received the Lord Jesus Christ, right, as our Lord and Savior, the thing that makes us different is His Word in us. We are a bunch of slugs without it. We are nothing, you know. Paul said we're nothing. I believe him. If he had met me, he would have said, you're nothing and then some. Well, I was going to go to Joshua chapter 1. I'm just kidding. Mark's going to take you there later. You know, as I was thinking about peace, I was thinking about, Lord, you know, we're in Scriptures. Does it show us? And I think in Acts chapter 16, if you want to cruise over there. I think we see in this chapter, I'm going to start here in verse 16, but I think it gives us a picture of both sides of the coin. We see a worldly peace and what that looks like, and then we see what the peace of the Lord really looks like in this through Paul and Silas. You know, think of Paul and Silas' trip here, just a little bit before we get into this. But this man from Macedonia comes up to him and calls them into the area, in a sense. They go in excited because they're preachers of the gospel. They go into the area and they preach the gospel. And then we see Lydia here get saved, and her whole family gets baptized. It's a high point here. In the ministry. It's a high point in the ministry. Doesn't seem like there's many attacks here. It just seems to be flowing so good. You know, it's kind of like what we dreamed of, right, Bob? It's kind of like, wow, this is ministry. This is awesome, man. I'm going on, I'm sharing the gospel, and people are getting saved, and wow, this is awesome. Then we get to verse 16. Right? It says, now it happened as we went to pray, Luke was with them there, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her master much profit by her fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Isn't that interesting? You know, it kind of blew my mind a little bit when we read through that psalm this morning. I was like, these men servants here actually understood that, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation, And this she did for many days, Paul. But Paul, greatly annoyed. I think the King James says grieved. I kind of like that. Grieved. Turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. It's interesting, you know, Paul didn't go around just casting out demons and so forth on the whim. It wasn't his everyday occurrence, I don't think. But he waited upon when the Lord was ready to do that. It says there that they followed him for many days, you know. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Now this is ministry. This is Paul's ministry. You know, their peace here, if you look at these masters here of this young girl, these masters were consumed by what gave them the peace, what generated their peace, what manifested peace in their lives. And I think it's very clear when we get to verse 9, it says the master saw that their hope of profit was gone. It was gone. It had left them. Why? Because they were depending upon this young lady that had this demon cast out of her. You know, their peace was gone. And that's how the world is. You know, if you're consumed by the financials, if you're consumed by the positional, you know, well, what's my title? You know, people ask me, so what's your title? I said, the Lord's servant, right? That's my title. I'm a slave to the Lord. I'm a bondservant of Christ. That's my title. So do you want to be called pastor? You can call me pastor if you want to. Do you go to my church? Then I'm not really your pastor. So you can call me Fred, you know. I'm not hung up on titles. But their hope of their profit was gone. And more than that, their peace was gone. And so in order to react to that, right, they started doing things to hopefully alleviate this problem, the Silas Paul problem. And so it says they seized him and they dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. They didn't want any more of their business tainted by these two guys, Silas and Paul. So they would take care of it. They would stifle them. They would put them in a place that they couldn't possibly do anything, proclaim anything. And it says, and they brought them to the magistrates. I think of this as somebody they agree with, right? They're gonna take them to these people that are gonna agree with them so that they can dismiss these guys. And said, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our cities. They didn't realize that Paul was Roman. And they teach customs that are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes. They tore off the clothes of Silas and Paul, not their own clothes, right? And commanded them to be beaten with rods. They threw them in prison, commanded the jailers to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. You know, from my understanding, there was three levels to the prison, and the inner prison was the lowest level. that they could put him in. And it was probably not some place in which we want to prayed around in, right? It was kind of the scum of the earth kind of treatment there. And they put him there. They thought they could silence him there. They locked him in shackles a lot of time, or stocks there. A lot of times they'd put their feet in stocks. They would have no other choice than to sit down or lay down, right? There was not a whole lot of options there. The last thing, you know, and I've heard people say, well, I can't blame them for complaining. You know, I can't blame them for complaining. The situation they're in is tough, you know. But we don't see that out of Paul and Silas, do we? We don't see their complaining, their whining about their situation. It says at the darkest hour in verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas was praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I like that. They were singing hymns to the Lord. It says there that they were singing hymns to God. They weren't singing it to the, it wasn't a spectacle. They weren't performing, right? They weren't sitting there making these guys listen to them and think, gee, how righteous are these guys? But they were singing it to the Lord. They weren't tooting their own horns. They were singing it to God. And the prisoners had no other place to go but to listen to them. Right? It's like what people say about prison ministry nowadays, right? They've got a captive audience. They had to listen. They had to listen to him. And you wonder what they were thinking there, right? Are these guys crazy? Right? Have they lost their mind? And all of the above, right? They were crazy for Jesus. Yes, they had lost their mind. It was converted, right? It was converted. And here they sit singing. They could have been laying down in their stocks, not doing nothing, not saying anything. But in the darkest hour, they were singing praises to the Lord. And I guess my question to you is that how you conduct your life in your darkest times? I know that I have a ways to go in this. I read this scripture for myself. I don't necessarily just read it for you guys. But I see where I need to grow, right? And are you the one that is listening? Are you there listening to the other people that are praising the Lord? Do you ever think why are they always standing up at praise and fellowship time telling people about what the Lord has done in their lives? How they stand there every service and they raise their hands to the Lord and they're singing, but it's different because it's to the Lord. Or maybe you've got that guy that he doesn't stand in worship. He kneels in worship, in reverence to the Lord. And you wonder, how do you get to that point where you're in such great communion with the Lord? And fellowship with the Lord. You don't care about what's going on around you. You don't care about the circumstances that you're in, that you're facing. I've seen so many people go through these horrible things, right, Mark? Diseases, cancer, whatever you're going through, right? I see people just hanging on to the Lord, and you think, if I was there in them shoes, would I be the one that would be able to hang on? Would I be able to just press into the Lord? Or would I be the one that fell away from Him? That I wouldn't have ears to hear Him. Well, as they were singing, it says in verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. You find out who's really listening, right? You find out when the catastrophic happens, when the earthquakes happen, and the chains are released, and they go, man, we want to get out of this bad situation. Everybody darts for the door, and you're left alone. You find out who's really for Jesus or not. They were all loosed. What would you have done if you were given the opportunity to escape a situation? What would you do? Would you ask the Lord if you should leave? Or would you on your own accord say, you know what, this is too much trouble for me. This is too crazy for me. Too crazy of a situation. These circumstances I just can't stand. It's ridiculous. I'm leaving. I'm getting out of here. Have you ever said that to the Lord? You're going through stuff and say, man, Lord, this is ridiculous. And then you hear from Him, Fred, you're ridiculous. All I've asked you to do is stand with me. Is there anyone that's the most high God than He, right? Just stand there with Him. Whether you're in shackles, chains, or you're free, what are you going to do? The opportunity arises. The door is open. I've heard so many people say that. Let me warn you about the open door. Just because a door is open doesn't mean you have to walk through it, or that you should walk through it. You better pray before you walk through it, because what's on the other side of there might just be worse than what you're going through on the other side of the door, the side that you're on. You need to pray through those things. This is not hocus pocus, right? This is not like, you know, when I see three bunnies run in front of me, that must be a sign. Yeah. The sign is that one of them is going to get hit, right? That's the result. If I hear people say things like, well, you know, the butterfly was fluttering over my car and I felt like God was here in my presence. That's ridiculous. I've never seen the Apostle Paul go, hey, you know what, I think we're going to go to Macedonia because, well, it begins with an M. And that's my middle initial, you know, or something. I don't know. We come up with these stupid things of God telling us. How about His Word? You know, how about some prayer time? How many of you guys show up to your prayer meetings and pray to the Lord together? Prayer is like not even happening in our churches. But here, during this midnight hour, Paul and Silas were praying and they were singing. The two kind of went together. And then the Lord did something. the creator of the universe, quaked the earth, shook it. And it says immediately the doors were open, and the keeper of the prison, awakening from his sleep, I was wondering if maybe Paul and Silas' singing put him to sleep, I'm not sure. And seeing the prison doors open, supposed the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. You know, kind of taking his, you know, he understood what would happen to him if all these prisoners were gone. And it, for him, it was a very hopeless, peaceless situation that he saw in front of him. But Paul called with a loud voice, this blows my mind, do yourself no harm. What does it say? Therefore, we are all here. All means all, as far as I'm concerned. You know, all is here. They're all there, you know. And he was like, that's almost impossible. But see, the praying and the singing of to the Lord, the worshiping of the Lord, it changes things. And Paul was saying there's no need, you know. And he must have been listening to Paul. He must have been there in the presence, just seeing what Paul was going through, wondering why this guy's countenance was the way it was, seeing the change there between the other prisoners. And he brought him out and he said, sir, what must I do to be saved? You know, which way should I go? Which way to peace? Which way to peace? And so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. See, just our one step of faithfulness has a big impact on our house. Doesn't mean that because of his salvation, everybody else was saved in his household, but it does mean, it gives us a great illustration here that we have an impact. Our following of Christ has an impact on those that live among us. You know? You know why some people have a hard time ministering to their family? Because their family sees through our hypocrisy. And they see through They see through a lot of things that we say. We have the words to say it, but we don't necessarily do it. And when they look at our lives, they go, really? They don't have any peace. Because we're acting just like the world in the church. We're not really relying upon the Lord and His wonderful gift of peace that He gives us. And you will be saved. And I think along with that salvation, we get this wonderful gift of peace that He gives us. You know, when Jesus was saying this to His disciples, He was preparing what? For Himself to leave them. And it was to bring them great comfort that His peace would be there. Even though physically He was gone, His peace would be there. Right? Physically, today we sit here and we don't see Jesus physically among us, but we know He's here through His Holy Spirit who gives us the wonderful gift of peace if we're willing to receive it. If you come here today and you're just coming here just because it's a guy's day and the rest of the guys in my church or fellowship or whatever is going, and I just saw him be a part of the pack. He came for the wrong reason. If he came just to drink some coffee and eat some donuts, you came for the wrong reason. If that pulled pork, if that's all you came for, you'll leave here fat and happy for a moment until later and you're hungry again, right? But if you come for the right reason, God is willing to grant you a wonderful gift today of peace through His Word, right? We receive peace through being in His Word. Once we leave, I don't know about you, but I know when I'm dry. because the peace is dry. Right? I know when I need to get with the Lord. Because my home isn't peaceful. Because I'm not peaceful. I have the human nature, sinful as it is. And I have a tendency of acting out in the flesh. That is my natural tendency. But when I'm with the Lord, you know I'm with the Lord. The way I act. I was at a workshop this week up in Rochester, and I met a guy that knew Jeff Gallatin and did carpets with him and stuff. And so we were chit-chatting, and before we even knew each other, he said, "You know, I knew there was something with you. I knew there was something about you. And it's just Jesus, you know. It really is. It's nothing about Fred, because if it was about Fred, he wouldn't have said that. Right? It's about being in fellowship with the King of Kings. With the Prince of Peace. That's why we call Him the Prince of Peace. Where do you get your peace from? The Prince. Right? And so, I just want to encourage you today, you know, let everything go. Right? Let everything go from the world. The world is there to bring chaos to us. Right? And there will be chaos in our lives. You know? There will be troubles in our lives. There will be sufferings in our lives. There will be these things that we don't necessarily want to, if it was our choice, we wouldn't have chose to do, right? But they're there in our lives. And sometimes they get a little overwhelming to us. But we have a place to go. Right? We have a place to go. We can regroup, as they would say, right? We can regroup with the Lord. Right now, folks, I am inside, I'm just dying to get away with the Lord for a couple days. Beyond this. But that's the honest truth. There's so much going on in this world, in my life, that I can get into it. You know, I found myself the other day, I was finishing this shower, and I so much wanted to get it done because I wanted to get on to the next, right? And I found myself at this person's house until 9:30, 10 o'clock. I finished the shower, but I was thinking afterwards, that's not what I want to be doing all the time. Now, it certainly provides for my family, and I would say, you know, us men, we ought to stand up for our families and support them in that way. But we can get so wrapped up in that, right? So wrapped up in it, whatever it is. It can actually be good stuff. And it can strip away our peace. We're always trying to do better. We're always trying. There's this always us trying to do something. God said, wait a minute. I've got this wonderful gift I want to give you. It's my peace. Wait until after I get all this done. You know? So I'd encourage you today, you know, let's not worry about those things. Let's not worry about the things on the outskirts of our lives or very integral parts of our lives even. You know, you come here, some of you, with heavy hearts, and some of you come with really great intentions just to seek the Lord. Let's do that. Let's just seek the Lord, you know, for you. You know, and if you don't hesitate. If you need prayer, if you need some healing, or if you need you need prayer about a situation, you know, that you're going through, that you're struggling with, God already knows. You know that. He knows those struggles that we have. And He would just like us to lift them up to Him. You know? Because it shows Him, too, that we have confidence in Him. We believe in You, Lord. We trust You above all things. You're the Most High God. Right? And we're going to lay them at Your feet, Lord, whatever it is, whatever them burdens are. So, you know, we're going to take a break here, but that doesn't mean we're going to take a break from, you know, if you need prayer, come see us. You know, come see one of the pastors, one of the elders, whatever. You know, grab your buddy next to you that you can, that you have confidence in, and let's pray through some of these things. I don't want you to walk in here one way and walk out the same way, holding on to all those things that consume you. You know? So let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your wonderful love for us. We ask You, Lord, to be honored and glorified in our lives today, Lord. Father, we pray for a touch from You today for these guys. Lord, anybody just striving in their relationship with You and maybe consumed by the world's things, Lord, or maybe they haven't ever put their trust in You, Lord, may this be the day. You say this is the day of salvation. Lord, we pray, Father, for that man that's here. Because we know there are men that are here that do not know You, and that's okay, but we want to make sure they know You, Lord. So we ask You, Father, just to prick hearts along the way, Lord. Lead us and guide us today, Lord, as this is really not the men's day, Lord. It's Your day, Lord. And we ask You, Father, to have Your way with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.